74. A French steamer collided with another ship and sank. Almost everyone on board drowned. There was a Christian woman on the ship named Mrs. Spafford. She was from Chicago. She was saved by a sailor who found her floating in those waters. But sadly, her four children died in that accident. Her husband, Horatio Spafford, was not on the ship. He received a telegram from Wales from his wife with the words, "Saved alone." 2 years later, he wrote a hymn in commemoration of the death of his children. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Spafford had learned to apply the principles of God's sovereignty to every situation he faced. Every time I hear that song, even before I knew this story, it stirred my spirit. It's a song that makes you want to stand strong for God. It's a song that gives you that peace. And yet it's a song that came from such hardship, such sadness. It all started with a telegram that only read, "Saved alone." When you ask yourself a question, how strong is your faith? How strong are your prayers? How strong is your devotional relationship with God? If you received the message that only read, "Saved alone," would a song like this pour forth from you years later? We're picking up in Acts 4, verse 23. We're resuming right after Peter and John had been arrested. They stood before the court, men that had control of their lives, what their future would hold, whether they lived or died. And they spoke boldly. They spoke in faith. They had full trust in God. To speak boldly, it doesn't mean they didn't have a fear. I guarantee you, their hearts were probably racing. But yet they spoke with courage. In this example, if it was a movie before us, we'd be considering them the heroes. But what makes a person a hero? It's never that they weren't afraid in the first place. It's that they choose to take an action even though they're afraid. Now they're coming back from that. They're coming back from that victory to tell them what had happened. Tell them how they've been commanded now not to speak about what they had witnessed, not to say a word about what they had seen, not to discuss Jesus, Son of God, who had been working miracles. How they'd been arrested when they didn't deserve to be, ordered to silence. And now we're going to see what the reaction is when they come back and share this news. Verse Verse 23, when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. That verse isn't just an introduction between sections. It holds something very important that is often overlooked. They went to their own companions. When the news came in, when they had that burden to face, when they had to share that bad news, they sought fellowship with other Christians, with other believers. They came together. They didn't run and hide from it. They didn't choose to be quiet on it. They didn't worry about what the others would think. They sought their fellow Christians. They went to their own to face it together. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Once they shared what this burden was, they sought the one tool that they knew would help them. And together they prayed to God. They didn't sit there and try and discuss what their options were. They didn't weigh out, well, should we go speak somewhere else? Should we not say anything at all? Should we go back out and say it today? Should we say it tomorrow? Should we wait? They came together, said, here's what happened. Let's pray. If you want to be able to have burdens turn into great songs that praise God, that give thanks to God, you come together with your fellow Christians and you talk to God. He's the all-sovereign. Right here, they're saying, he made the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything that's in them. Everything we can see was made by God. They're starting off by reminding themselves of the sovereign power of God. We're told he made it all. We believe he made it all. We're told he holds everything together and we believe it. Here's where they're starting to get their strength, by turning to God and being reminded of who they're following, who they're speaking for, who their strength comes from, who their wisdom can come from. Why they should be able to stand up. Why they shouldn't let that burden, that hurdle, slow them down in the slightest. It's just in that simple sentence. Oh Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. They're going straight to Scripture. This is the longest prayer in the book of Acts. It's laid out here as an example to us. Those times when we're not reading about, in between events that are happening, those times when they were together, they immerged themselves in Scriptures. They knew it. They studied it. They read it. They lived it. Their devotion life was stronger than any of ours. These men were basically a walking Bible. They made it that much of their life. They knew it that well. So that in a moment of hardship, in a prayer reaching out to God for help, for strength, for wisdom, for guidance, scriptures poured out of their soul. Scriptures replaced their fears. Scriptures lifted their hearts. Scriptures replaced that sadness. What are our devotion lives today? We know God's the sovereign Lord. But do we live it? Do we act it? Belief in God's sovereignty will never give us immunity from fear. Fear is a natural, a human emotion. It's automatically going to come forth, spill out of you every time you're in the presence of danger. But when we experience such a fear, do we address it in the belief in God's sovereignty? If we do, that'll enable us to concentrate on obedience without compromising. It'll make it easier for us to choose the hard path, the right path, instead of just trying to find the easy way out. We have to take fear into consideration so we can also act wisely under pressure. We don't need to be foolhardy in our response to danger and unnecessarily cause trouble for ourselves. That would just be foolishness. But we have to accept the fact that we're not perfect. We're going to have those times when we're shuddering in fear. If we stay in the Word, if we learn it and we live it, if we make sure we make God a priority in our lives, not just a check mark, not just something to say, I reached out to Him today. But if we make sure He's always who we want to reach out to, that when we come together facing a burden, He's who we reach out to first. That's how we can overcome any obstacle. That's when mountains start to be moved. That's when the faith is strong enough. When the first reaction is, let him talk to God and follow His movement. Instead of trying to burden all that weight upon our own shoulders. Verse 27, for truly in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. Saying here, God, you're all-knowing, you're all-powerful, you're always present, everywhere at once. Before time itself was created, before you even began speaking the universe as we know it into existence, you knew everything that was going to happen and you chose to do it anyway. You chose to create Adam and Eve knowing that would lead to Jesus' sacrifice. You cared about us and loved us so much that you let us come into existence, knowing we would sin against you, knowing we would turn away from you, knowing the pain and suffering that your son would have to face so we could have a chance of being saved. Knowing none of us deserved it, there's nothing we could ever do to deserve it, but you'd give us that chance. Now, it's not saying here that these men had no choice. All it's saying is He knew what was going to happen. In life, we have a choice over everything we do. God said it, and He only speaks truth. So there's no contradiction there. It's no different than if you ask a child if they want a piece of broccoli or a piece of candy, you know before you ask them, they're going to choose the candy. I would too. That doesn't mean you made the choice for them. It just means you had the knowledge before you asked. God knew everything. So He knew from the beginning that each and every one of you would be here today. He didn't choose for you to come here today. He didn't choose to set an alarm clock for you. You made all those decisions. He's just so amazing, He knew. And He gives us all the option to decide for ourselves in our hearts whether or not we're going to admit we're sinners, whether or not we want to admit that there's nothing we can do to make ourselves righteous, other than to accept the gift of salvation, to accept that deep down we're sinners, and that the only way we can be saved, the only way we can have eternity, is if we accept that Jesus is the only way to life, the only way to true salvation, and to believe in that wholeheartedly and repent. These men at this time are realizing that. They're realizing from the very beginning, God knew all of that, that Jesus chose to come down anyway, and that it is now up to them whether or not they want to spread that truth out there, whether or not they're going to let their fears hold them back, or to charge forth boldly. They face this burden. They came together. They prayed together. Scripture's pouring forth, reminding them what they need to be reminded. And it only gets more amazing from here. Verse 28. To do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to accord. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal. And signs of wonders take place through your name of your holy servant Jesus. They're saying, Lord, you know threats are coming down upon us. And you know the task you've given us. You know we want to speak in your name. But you know we're shaking in our sandals. They didn't have boots. So they'd be shaking in their sandals at that time. Lord, we need your help to speak your word. Lord, we need your help to go forth to build the church as you want it. To love as you want us to care as you would. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Whenever God's been present, there's always been signs, wind, fire, earthquakes. God made sure they knew. Can you picture what that would feel like then? What they'd be reminded of then? When we started off with that first gathering, they prayed. The wind came through the building, but there was no sign of wind. They could hear it rushing around them, but nothing was blowing around. They knew God was present. Now they've just prayed for God, saying, you know what we're facing here? You know we're only human. You know we're not able to do any of this on our own. How do we go forth? How do we go forth in your name, proclaiming your message to which we were witnesses to? and the place was shaken. And that hymn we sung, that's just a little glimpse of what it would have been like to be in that room at that time. That little bit of stirring in your soul was probably just a 0.1% of the stirring that would have happened in that room. The power that there would have been in awe of. The same power that we all know is possible, that we know He has. But they were witness to. Today, we look around the world and we see the darkness. We know, just like back then, there's people out there that want us to be silent about the same message they wanted them to be silent about then. Proclaim that Jesus came, died on the cross so that we might be saved. All of us at some point have been afraid to speak with that boldness. What would have happened if they gave into it? They had a choice. They could have stopped right there. How many lives would have been lost? Never knowing God, never knowing that love, never knowing that peace and security. Just like then, we get to choose how we move forward. Whether or not we want to speak up or stay silent. Whether we're going to stand up or just sit in the back and say nothing. Whether or not we're going to reach out so another life can be saved, can come to know God, get a feeling of that joy and peace. Or if we're going to turn our backs and let them suffer in darkness. It's always our choice. What choice are we making? We're told how many churches today are closing their doors. Sadly, the reason for it is that today, the spirituality of the leadership in many churches isn't very strong. They wilt when the crises come to them. When those problems arise, they don't stand boldly. They find the easy way out. If we don't seek to grow spiritually strong, if we don't learn to speak with boldness, then we're going to act without any spiritual strength in the face of a conflict, in the face of criticism, in the face of a hardship, in the face of persecution. And even sadder than that, if we don't seek to grow that strength, we're going to shrink in the face of temptation. Everyone who gathers to worship God says they accept the Bible's authority, but in a crisis, is that authority forgotten? In a crisis, are actions biblical? Are they what God would want us to do? Or are we shrinking and submitting to the world's authority instead of God's? A major cause for this may be that statistically, Christian leaders do not give time for a daily Bible study, for daily meditation in the Word, to pray in the Word, and to apply the Word. They admitted in these statistics for themselves. They know it. They have the choice. But they're saying, we know we're not doing it daily. So this is the question that needs to be asked. If leaders in churches are admitting they have this deficiency, then what can they expect of the members? And the fact is, as soon as we walk out those doors, we're all a leader in our own missionary mission. We're all missionaries when we step out the door. As soon as we turn on the road, we're in a world surrounded by non-believers. Are we speaking out to them? Are we inviting people? Are we showing we have any care or love for our neighbor? Do we want them to know what the Word of God truly says? Or do we want to stay quiet? D.L. Moody said, the biggest enemy is not our circumstances or the wickedness and injustice of the world. Rather, it is our own willingness to be disobedient. He said he has the most trouble in anything in his spiritual journey with himself. And that's true for all of us. The biggest obstacle before us is ourself and what we choose to do. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you created it all, everything around us, everything we can see, everything we can feel, us ourselves. You have the ability to create more stars than we could ever count. Hold them all in place. And yet, Lord, we forget your sovereignty. We forget to rely on you. And Lord, I know you've shed tears because we forget to turn to you. Lord, help us to stay in your Word, to make the choice to saturate our lives with your Scriptures. That when we come together in prayer to you. That when we have a choice to make, we choose to talk to you first before we consider any of it on our own. Lord, help us to speak in boldness with your love and caring. Help us to reach out. Help us to let your light shine through us so that others may be saved. And help us to choose to do it until it just becomes second nature to us. To the point that when everything happens to us, before we even think about it, we're turning to you. But Lord, we know that is the only way we'll ever speak in the boldness that you tell us to, that you say we have the ability to. And that you give us the faith to. In Jesus' name, amen. In closing, I want to share a small story. Two Irishmen, Pat and Mike, had narrowly escaped death on a sinking ship. They were floundering around in an icy ocean water on just a couple of planks. Now, Pat was a man who was addicted to the grossest profanity you could hear, and he thought that he ought to repent of it, and that if he did, then the Lord would come to his rescue. Mike, on the other hand, he thought that his theology was sound. He knew exactly what God wanted from him. So Pat began to pray. But just as he was coming to the main point of his prayer, that repentant prayer, Mike spotted a ship coming toward them. As delighted as Columbus was when he spotted the North American shore, Mike hollered, "Hold it, Pat! Don't commit yourself yet. Here's the ship coming." Pat immediately stopped praying before he ever finished. Is that not how many of us are? The only time we pray is when we're in that jam, when we're facing that burden. But as soon as those conditions improve, we forget. Stay reminded this week. Don't forget who we pray to and what he can do. Jay, would you please come lead us in our closing hymn?